the Lord. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through. I want to tell you, the devil is attacking the vision of this church. If you don't know that, he's a terrorist. He's attacking the vision of this church. And how do I know that? Because God spoke to me years ago. This is as prophetic as it gets this morning. God spoke to me years ago, and he said, I will manifest in your body what is happening in my body. And you will know what is happening in my body, what the devil's trying to accomplish in my body by what is happening in your body. And you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have to get anxious about any of the things that show up in your body, because you know who you are. You know you're the healed with power and authority in the name of Jesus to resist sickness. For the last year, over a year, the sight of this eye, I've always had better than 20/20 vision. I've always proclaimed and declared I will have it forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every time I went to the doctors for a medical to drive that bus, they would be shocked. I'd be reading who printed the thing. The doctor had given up five lines above that with her glasses on. But for the last year and a half, my vision's been under attack. This morning, I went into the toilet and I said, glory to God, I can't see it in my right eye. There's an attack on the vision of this church. The enemy's a terrorist. He's coming in through the back door and he's trying to undermine what God has established in this place. You need to get, that's as prophetic as it gets. You need to hear that. You need to hold on to that. You need to be diligent and keep it, just walk in faith. Faith that's glory to God, that's fueled by love. Hallelujah. Not fear. Faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when this attack of the enemy to undermine the vision is removed, now sight will be restored. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. And I'll know the battle's over. Hallelujah. I'll know that mess is gone. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. If you don't know it, if you don't understand it, if you're not spiritual enough to get it, just sit down and take my word for it and go after God. Don't take my word for it completely. Just go after God and ask Him if that's the truth. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen to this. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. You are running the race nobly. Who has interfered and hindered and stopped you from your heeding and following the truth? I didn't know if I would ever tell you what I just told you there, but glory to God, I just felt right there was the right time to release that to you. I didn't tell it to anybody. I didn't tell it to Katrina. I didn't tell it to anybody. Glory to God. This evil persuasion is not from him who called you, who invited you to freedom in Christ. A little leaven, a slight inclination to error, leavens the whole lump. It perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church. Just a slight inclination to error. The deception that the New Testament continually warns us against is not false signs and wonders, but rather the replacement of signs and wonders with legalism and tradition that is powerless to supernaturally change anybody or anything. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 5 says this, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, what a list, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Do you think these people are in the church? I hope not. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people, turn away. I tell you, he's coming to catch you away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The church has been afraid to receive much of the revelation of God's love and provision because it was afraid of being deceived. You know why they were afraid of being deceived? Because it all sounded just too good to be true. How much has been rejected by the church because it sounded too good to be true? I want to tell you, it gets gooder and truer. God doesn't come to take away the goodness. He comes to establish you more and more in his goodness. Amen. You'll never be deceived by believing that God is good. You'll never be deceived by believing that God loves you unconditionally. Amen. You'll never be deceived by believing that God loves you and that nothing you ever do will ever change his love for you. And that revelation of his love is what will keep your faith working in the midst of every circumstance. That is a revelation that will keep you in Christ and stop you from going back into the world. where there is stress and anxiety and all of that fear mess is there. The message of the first Christmas is still the message of Christmas. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. See, the church has been eyeing each other up, and even within the same church, eyeing each other up in suspicion and disunity. Instead of allowing the revelation of God's love to draw us all together, Jesus said, love you as I have loved you, love one another. Yes. There is no fear in love. Love believes all things. Love is not suspicious. People say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I trust you. God doesn't ask you to trust me. He asks you to trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. The more you trust in Him, the more you'll find you trust me. Yes. Because it's not based on your everything that you, our relationship's not based on trust. Based on love. I'm not saying that we don't that trust is not important. I'm just saying, glory to God, He doesn't ask you to base your relationship with one another on trust. He says, love one another. Trust in the Lord. Trust Him with everything. And love one another. Hallelujah. Church has been eyeing each other up in suspicion, disunity, instead of allowing the love, that the revelation of God's love to draw us all together into the unity of the faith, because nothing else will draw us there. Nothing else will bring us there but the revelation of God's love. That's why Jesus prayed for believers in John 17, verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world, prayer in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me. I'll tell you, 2014 is going to be a year of greater glory. That they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Wow. Oh, hallelujah. Same love that was in Him and us. See, when the church accepts the revelation of God's love, when the church accepts the revelation of God's provision in all of its fullness, it drives out all fear of being deceived. And the church is able at last to come into the unity of the faith. The church at last begins to release manifestations of power and demonstrations of the glory of God. And the world cannot deny them. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus said it even goes further than that. It's not only God with us, but God in us. Hallelujah. A lot of people this Christmas are going to try and temporarily drown out their problems, drown out their fears with the party spirit. They'll overindulge in food and alcohol and lust and uncontrolled spending. And at the end of it all, they'll come crashing back to reality. When the fruit of their madness appears in sickness and hangovers and maybe even in unwanted pregnancies. And eventually with the arrival of the credit card statement. All of a sudden, boom. That's why we're exhorted in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That means wasteful consumption or expenditure. Debauched indulgence and pleasure without moral restraint and temperance. It says, but be continually being filled with the Spirit. You don't need any artificial anesthetic to try and cover up our fears, because according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't need the artificial because we have the real thing. Amen. I said we don't need the artificial because we have the real. Are you in the world? If you're in the world, you're dependent upon the artificial. But if you're in Christ, you have the real thing. Amen. That's your choice this morning. Are you in Christ or are you in the world? We don't need the false feelings of power that come through alcohol consumption. Not even the false feelings of power that come through a large credit limit. Even if it's a platinum card. Some people think, oh, I've got a £6,000, £10,000 credit limit. Well, that just gives you the potential of £10,000 worth of debt. That's all that does. It's a false feeling of power, empowerment. It's a false empowerment. Nor do we need the empty alcohol-fueled words of flattery or promises of lifelong devotion. Oh, I love you forever. We don't need any of the incoherent ramblings of the worldly wise who claim to hold the answers to all of life's problems. We don't need the barren counsel of the agony ants and the pseudo-psychology of those who just so happen to be educated beyond our intellect. We receive power as we are continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Power over all the power of the enemy. Power to overcome in every situation and circumstance, including security from every threat of terrorism or economic meltdown. Did anybody hear what I said? Including security from every threat of terrorism or economic meltdown. They're saying now that their retirement age is going up to 70. In other words, 70, according to some people's understanding, is the allotted span, so it's work till you keel over, basically. Aren't you glad there's good news from heaven this morning? I've got no plans for retirement myself. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're in the kingdom, neither should you. Put my eyes on the eastern sky. I'm waiting for my deliverance. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But while I'm waiting, I've got another eye on the harvest. I don't want to spend my life soul searching. I want to spend my life searching for souls. We receive the love of God that's poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the revelation of God's love that energizes our faith, that puts it to work. Not just to get our own needs met, but enabling us to demonstrate the unconditional love of God to others, to exercise faith on the behalf of others. That's called great faith, Jesus said. He said it to two or three people in the gospel. He said, you have great faith. They were exercising their faith on behalf of others. Sometimes we have to stand for our children because they're not standing for themselves. Sometimes we have to stand for other members of the body of Christ because they're not standing for themselves. But we only have authority where we have responsibility. We're willing to take that responsibility. That's why I get down on my knees every Sunday morning and take that bread and take that cup and say, thank you, Father, for household salvation. I stand for those who right now might not be standing for themselves. I believe that's your perfect will. For my family, for my household. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I make that declaration. I take responsibility and I exercise authority that's attached to that responsibility to proclaim God's best over those whom I have responsibility for. Having children is not an 18-year commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. We live by faith. As long as we're breathing, we're declaring God's best over those for whom we have responsibility. Hallelujah. Can everybody shout amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I better move this forward. Hallelujah. Even the recording came under attack this morning. Hallelujah. First half just got lost into the ether. You know, according to Jude, verses 20 and 21, we build ourselves up in the faith as we do what? As we pray in the Holy Spirit. What does he do? It says he keeps us in the love of God. Romans 5, it says the love of God's poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given us. We stir up the gift on the inside. We pray in the Spirit. We pray in tongues. And the love of God just is released in our lives. And it strengthens our faith and it empowers our faith and it energizes our faith. And it says we do that. And as we do that, we look with expectancy for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. The mercy that will cause him to come and catch away the church before the tribulation begins. Before the time of tribulation. Well, there's already tribulation in the world. The Bible calls it the Great Tribulation. 7 years of misery. 7 years of absolute misery. But you've got no business worrying about it or stressing about it. The only concern we have is to get as many people out of it as possible. As many people with us on the first shout. Hallelujah. We look with expectancy for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ as we pray in the Spirit, build ourselves up in the faith, keeping us in the love of God. We receive the mind of Christ, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in him. And that revelation equips us to demolish every argument and pull down every stronghold of limitation. As our minds are fixed on Jesus and the finished work of the cross, the Bible says we're kept in perfect peace. The shalom of God with nothing missing and nothing broken. And it begins to manifest in our lives. As our thoughts line up with His thoughts, our words will line up with His words, and our actions will line up with His actions, and our character will be conformed to His character, and our destiny will be fulfilled according to His will, and we'll go out in the first shout, Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'll just try and close this. As the media bombards us with bad news, as the media continually brings threats of impending doom, as the statistics of those, as Jesus said, whose hearts would fail them through fear, as that increases, as fear-fueled stress and anxiety increase, as I said already, the retirement age has been removed to enable people whose pensions have failed to go on work until they keel over. And even as a fear-fueled message might come from sections of the church, the message of Christmas remains the same. Imagine this, I just thought about this last night. Imagine if the cataclysmic great event to take place in the second decade of the 21st century was the rapture of the church. You wouldn't get much more cataclysmic than that. That's our hope. What I'm saying here today, folks, is that we would do well to remember that the message delivered on the first Christmas. We'd do well to remember that message. And rather than looking for and expecting a great falling away, we should be looking for and expecting a great catching away. Jesus said, cast out your net on the other side. There were so many in that net. Come on. Hallelujah. Stop looking for the falling away. Stop examining everything to see if it's falling away. And start looking for the great catching away. Cast out your net on the other side of the boat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, it won't puff up your pride so much. It won't make you feel so... It'll just keep you humble. It'll keep you in possession. It'll keep you in alignment with God's heart and God's purpose, which is to save every man and every woman and every child so that everyone goes out on the first shout. Hallelujah. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and through repentance to life. Are you in Christ this morning? Fear not. Have faith in God. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. That's the Christmas message. Whose report will you believe this Christmas? Are you in Christ or are you in the world? I've only got two words to finish this message with. Fear not. If you're in Christ, fear not. If you're in Christ, fear not. If you're in the world, you should be. You've got every right to fear. But I want to tell you, you can make a transition very quickly today. Maybe you're living halfway. You can't let see people. The people who think they're on the fence, actually, there is no fence. It's a mirage. The reason you feel so uncomfortable is because you're sitting in the wrong place. You need to make your decision today. Am I in Christ or am I in the world? So that's a powerful decision. It'll change your life forever. Change the course of your life, the destiny of your life. Are you in Christ? Or are you in the world? Father, I pray you'd give every person here today, Lord God, even just a few moments to meditate and to think about and to ponder upon that thought. Am I in Christ? Or am I in the world? Am I living under the stress and the oppression, the anxiety and the anguish and the squashing and the squeezing of this world? Or am I in Christ where there is perfect peace and joy? Help us to make a decision, Lord, based on the evidence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.